But you know when you start thinking about something, you just want to find out a few more interesting facts? Well, I just thought perhaps before we move on any further, we should just make sure that we're clear on some very key, some very dong key facts. So, you probably know these already. Has we got any donkey experts here this morning? No, that's good, because it's always better not to have too many experts when you're talking about something, isn't it? So, I'll tell you my facts, and then we won't have a time of sharing about donkey stuff. If you think there's some more facts, you come and tell me at the end. That'll be fine. So, here we go. Donkey fact number one. Did you know that donkeys originate from Africa, originally a descendant of the African wild ass, which, just to let you know, is now very rare. The average height of a donkey is between 91 centimetres and 150 centimetres. So those of you who've ridden on donkeys at the seaside, just have a think back and see how high your donkey was. Age of the donkey now. Donkeys often live for 25 years, although some have been recorded to live as long as 60 years. Did you know that? 60 years. And a 40-year-old donkey is considered to be elderly. Donkeys were domesticated around 4,500 years ago, and at one time they were considered a status symbol of their owners. So rather in those days, rather than having a Rolls Royce, you could have had a donkey. Okay? I guess you're interested in knowing what the hobbies of a donkey are. A lot of you were thinking that, weren't you? What is the hobby? What is the hobby of a donkey? Well, I found that out as well, and it's rolling. That's a donkey's hobby. Simon's just agreeing with me on the front row, so... sorry? I like to call it rolling. Number six, the donkey's... the sound that the donkey makes, which is... Yeah, we've got a nice bit of variety there. It was nice. The way that the donkey does that is to take a sharp intake of breath followed instantly by exhalation. Did you know that? Interesting, that wasn't it? And in the desert environment, I don't know if you realise it, but donkeys can be found in the desert. That's often where they were found originally. And it's not impossible for a donkey to hear the call of another donkey up to 60 miles away. Allegedly. I'm not sure that's true, but it seems okay, doesn't it? Interesting fact. The donkey is part of a family of other animals, and sometimes if they get together, then we could end up with a zidonk or a zebras, which is an interesting fact as well, isn't it? So it may be that you've actually seen one of these. Sorry?
Is that true?
That is true. Hey! Come on. That is absolutely true. I'm not making any of this up. I know you think that's the kind of thing that I might make up, some of you know, but this is factual information I'm presenting to you. If it's a joke, I'll let you know. It is the 1st of April. Yeah, but honestly, happy birthday, Eric, by the way. I was just, I don't know what it was, April Fool's that reminded me, it wasn't the talk of donkeys. The eighth fact, here in Ashwood, you're probably aware already, but we love donkeys. And a year ago, we saw fit to purchase 13 donkeys. Do you remember that, those of you around those days? We bought 13 donkeys. We sent Sam out to make sure that they were all fit and well. We named these donkeys, and just a reminder of the names of the donkeys. There they are there. We named 13 donkeys. And they're all out in Kenya. Sam, are you due back for a return? There's Sam. Actually, the pictures aren't so good this morning. The sunlight means that our pictures aren't as good. You have to take the rough with the smooth. That's a picture of Sam taking the... The kick donkeys can kick. Did you experience that? Okay, good. So they're my eight donkey facts for you. I know you'd be pleased with that. And those of you who know your Bibles will know that donkeys feature a number of times in the Bible. I'm not going to go through all of those this morning, but you'll realise I don't know if you noticed, there's a story in the Old Testament about Balaam's ass, where the donkey actually speaks. And it's interesting to know that that was the original idea for where Shrek and the donkey came from. I have made that up. but it's interesting to know. Right, okay, so if you've got your Bible with you this morning, we're going to read this passage that we've referred to already this morning. And this story is found in all four of the Gospels. I'm going to read it out of Matthew. So it's Matthew 21. Starting in the first verse. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven." The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Okay, so Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. And we've already mentioned it this morning, but Jesus arrives with this celebrity status. Basically, he was on a roll. Sick people had been healed. This story follows very soon after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And it's likely that the news would have spread and people would have known what had been happening. We don't know what was in everyone's mind. And even in that last verse of the passage, people are obviously asking, "Who is this?" And the answer that was given is interesting here. In Matthew's account, he says, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee," which was obviously true, but wasn't the whole story. And the laying down of the palm branches and the clothes on the ground, this was a tradition for welcoming royalty. It was kind of like the equivalent of our red carpet, I guess, these days. And as I was thinking about this, it's almost ironic, isn't it, that the crowds welcomed him as king, which he was, and yet they didn't understand the type of king that he really was when he arrived. So, back to the donkey. The donkey was obviously Jesus' vehicle of choice on that day. But why was that? Well, I've got two or three reasons. The first reason, mentioned there in the passage, was that it fulfilled the Old Testament prediction. It says there, "Tell the people of..." This was Zechariah who'd prophesied years before, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." And I don't know about you, but I always think it's pretty impressive when something happens that's already been described, that's already been put in place. And on this occasion, for those of us familiar with the story, perhaps we miss it, but on this occasion, God had a clear plan. It was already set out. Zechariah mentions donkeys in the Old Testament, and then Jesus pops up, fulfills the prophecy. And I want to remind us this morning, this wasn't a random sequence of events. It was deliberate. It was intentional. And I want to remind you as well today that it's still true today, that God has a plan. He still has a purpose. He's still in control. He still knows what he's doing. And he'll still has a plan for our lives too, which is pretty good news. Second reason, and we just heard and we saw the comparisons then between the donkey and the the rather more flashy horse. And that wasn't a joke. And I don't know if you noticed here, but one of the things at this time, the people were expecting that a king was going to come. They were expecting a king who would change everything, would make a difference. But they were expecting a very different type of king. And actually, the fact that Jesus chose a donkey and not this grand horse, Bible scholars say that the crowd that was passionate for a king would have noticed the difference between this grand horse and the donkey that Jesus chose to ride on. It was almost symbolic that back then and now, Jesus' life was about peace and not conquest. The people were hoping and expecting a new ruler and king who would overthrow the Roman Empire. But Jesus was a different type of king, bringing in a different type of kingdom. So we talked about some of the facts about the donkeys, but is there another reason why Jesus chose a donkey? I was thinking about some of the attributes of donkeys now. And let's have a look at a few of these very quickly. Some of these I think will be obvious to you, but donkey attributes. Okay, so donkeys, they're not so fast, but they keep going. Utilise 95% of what they eat, an interesting fact. I'm not willing to discuss chocolate brownies. But donkeys particularly, one of the reasons why they used donkeys was because of the way that they could utilise all of their fuel, so they could go on for ages and ages. So yeah, very good in a fuel crisis. Okay, what else? I guess you've seen the pictures of donkeys before carrying heavy weights, and that's one of the reasons why we bought donkeys for the people in Mitimingi in Kenya, so that they could carry the water, so that the people didn't have to carry it, the donkeys would carry it. And donkeys have the ability to carry significant weight. Another attribute. Donkeys are well known for being stubborn. You can't see it too well, but that particular donkey, I just sensed that he was one of those particularly stubborn ones. I like that picture. However, donkeys are very intelligent. I could tell you some of the stories, but I'll resist the temptation. And finally, that's the picture of the donkey reading the newspaper with a lady in her kitchen. Those of you who read the Telegraph will have spotted that. Donkeys are very affectionate animals and enjoy the company of people. Donkeys need companions, or they will become very depressed, apparently, as well. So, and I don't know if you, if you look at the list up there this morning, can you push it on, Zach, to the next? So there's the list of some of the donkey attributes. I don't know if, as you glance down that list, whether there's anything on there that you recognise any familiar traits. Just have a look at the person next to you, see if there's anything on that list which perhaps they're very intelligent people, despite popular misconception. Perhaps you recognise in the person sat next to you the need for a companion, otherwise they become depressed. Perhaps they're stubborn. Perhaps they're good at carrying things. Now, so this morning, obviously, I wouldn't want to be suggesting that you're a donkey. But I look at that list and sometimes I could consider myself a bit of a donkey. And one of the things, I guess you could think of some more attributes this morning, but some of us here have been at a conference this week, and there's a guy who comes over from South Africa. Some of you will have seen him and heard him speak before, a guy called Francois van Niekerk, who leads a big church in Pretoria. And I've heard him talk about donkeys before, and he's a great speaker. And one of the things that he talked about, one of the attributes, and particularly on this story we heard today, is that the reason that Jesus, that in the same way that Jesus picked up a donkey, that we should be, as God's people, people who also carry the presence of King Jesus. And I love that phrase that he said. You know, one of the things that's very important to us as Ashwood Church is God's presence. You'll often hear us talking and referring to God's presence as we sing and as we worship. We want to welcome God's presence here. And Jesus told his disciples after he'd gone to be in heaven, the Holy Spirit would come and live within them and amongst them. And one of the things that is really significant to us is that those of us who've made the decision to follow Jesus, that we want to be people who carry the presence and the power of the King. And I wanted to remind us of that this morning. And we've already mentioned it as well, as we've worshipped and as we've sung the songs, that as Jesus arrived on the donkey, in the same way that he arrived very humbly, that Jesus is still wanting to enter into our lives today. And in the same way that he entered humbly on the back of a colt, you know, Jesus doesn't tend to barge into our lives. He arrives in a very humble way, but he loves to be welcomed in. And one of the things that over the last few weeks, we've been really clear that we want to welcome God's presence into our times when we're together here on a Sunday morning. And we love to hear some of the stories of some of the things that have happened as we've welcomed Jesus in. And could we tell, that's your story, Dave, is that all right? Why don't you come up, come and stand next to me for a minute. I'll introduce you to Dave. Those of you who've been around for a while will have seen Dave. Oh, look, you've got a mic, Dave. It's all right. It's all right. No, it's good. I've done a deal with Dave because he wasn't a big fan of doing a lot of talking. You haven't changed your mind, have you? Okay. But one of the things that, as we were talking last week, those of you who are here, we prayed for a number of people and we listened to what God had got to say to us. And after the meeting, I said to Dave, have you got any questions? Where are you up to? What's happening? Is there anything we could pray? Is there anything we could do together? And can you remember the phrase that you said to me? I think you said you were ready.
I'm ready to take the next step.
Yeah, just say that.
I'm ready to take the next step.
Yeah, Dave just said to me that he was ready to take the next step. And I said, okay, that's great. Which step were you thinking of? And so we talked about it for a bit. And Dave was saying that he'd realised he'd been around for a while, but wanted to make that step in terms of making a decision for himself to follow Jesus. So I was pretty excited, wasn't I? Yeah. Which is good. So we prayed together we talked about the fact that you wanted to invite and welcome Jesus into your life, make that decision. It was pretty exciting, yeah? And so I'd agreed with Dave that he would come this morning. He'd agreed that he wasn't particularly wanting to do a lot of talking this week. He was going to save that. but he was really keen for all of us to know that he decided to follow Jesus. That was great, Dave, isn't it? Yeah. And the truth is that when we invite Jesus into our lives, everything can change.
That's right.
So, Dave, chances are a lot of things are going to change. And I know you've seen some of those changes already. But this morning we want to agree together as church that we're dead excited that you've made that decision. And we're looking forward to journeying with you as you follow Jesus. So, as I was talking today, I was thinking back to when the disciples followed Jesus and all that happened to them, transformed lives, the adventures that they had, water turned into wine, 5,000 people fed, blind men seeing, deaf men hearing, people healed physically, emotionally and spiritually because they came into contact with Jesus. made that decision to follow him. And I'm going to put a few scriptures up in a minute, just as we think about what it means to follow Jesus. And that phrase about coming into contact with King Jesus that makes a difference to our lives, makes a difference in Dave's lives, makes a difference in your life. And if you're a visitor this morning and you're not quite sure what we're talking about with this Jesus, then please do talk to us later, because we'd love to explain it a bit further and have that conversation with you as well. There's a song that we sometimes sing a while ago that talks about when you meet the King Jesus, when you get a touch from the King, it changes everything. And when I was talking to Dave and when we were thinking about this morning, reminding ourselves of King Jesus riding into Jerusalem and that we would welcome him, that we wanted the opportunity to pray together and to allow Jesus the King to touch us again, make a difference in our lives. And as the kids come back in, it was really important to us that they were involved in what we wanted to do this morning. Those of you who've been around the last few weeks, we've prayed for a number of different things. Last week, we prayed for ankles. And we prayed for a number of people who we believe had problems and issues with their ankles. During the week, one of those people was Norman, and I'm pleased to tell you that Norman's ankle was a lot better. Yay! Now, I've spoken to him this morning, and he says, to be honest, this morning it's not quite as good as it was. So I've agreed with Norman that we'll pray for him again, and perhaps some of the kids will help pray for him. There was another ankle that we prayed for last week. It was Jenny's ankle. She's not here this morning, but after the meeting, she was... Was she? She's none of these people. Jenny was, she put her hand up because she said there was something, she needed a touch from the King last Sunday morning. We asked people, we said, if you need something this morning, put your hand up. She put her hand up, we didn't know what it was for. And then we asked God what we needed to pray for. And Luke said that he felt that it was ankles we should pray for. And Jenny had already put her hand up because that's what she needed. Her ankle was in a lot of pain. We prayed for her, and afterwards she said the pain had gone. She felt so much better. I was excited by that because just one touch from the King can change everything. I'm going to remind you very quickly of three or four occasions of what a difference it made when people came into contact with Jesus. And then we'll see what we do next, but I want us to pray for some people who this morning say, yeah, I'd like to have a touch from the King. And the reason, kids, we've got you here this morning is because we want to include you in our praying. I know you've just been talking about it in the other room. You've just been talking about what it means to pray and hear from God. So we'll do that in a moment. Just let me read these things to you very quickly. You can read it on the screen as well, kids. But I know some of you are great readers. Have a look at some of these. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. One touch from the King. Next one, Mark 6. Now, he could do a mighty work here, except that he laid his hands on a few... that he could do no mighty work here, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. I'm not going to go into the background, but this is a situation where Jesus said he couldn't do miracles, and yet he still laid hands on people and they were still healed. Mark 7. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment on his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on them, and he was healed. Mark 8. So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town, he spat on his eyes and put his hand in him. He asked if he saw anything. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. Luke 4, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and he healed them. Just one touch changes everything. Lives are transformed. And that's the message of that we have of those who choose to follow Jesus. Your life will be transformed, never the same again. Doesn't mean it's not a message that says everything will be easy. But it's a life that will be transformed. Can I ask David just to sing this song for us for a moment? And then we're going to spend a moment or two with our kids praying for people. Thanks, David.